There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Good evening, everybody. It's our first live radio show of 2015. And we're glad you're here. We've got a lot of things that we're going to discuss tonight. We've got some fun in the show. And we also want to make sure that you, we're going to give you a homework assignment later on in the show. So you want to be... want to make sure you're prepared for that, the homework assignments. We're going to try to make sure that in 2015 the homework assignments are more challenging, more proactive, to get you up and going, to really think and to really do. And just to let you know, in 2015, there will be some more impromptu dances during the show. The little impromptu minute or two of dancing to music seems to be kind of popular. And how old's the show? Let's see. Tonight is 140 shows from the ranch. How many shows did we do before we moved to the ranch?
It'd be probably 31, because I think I did my 171st last week when I updated it.
So we've done 171 shows?
Uh-huh. I can check real quick, but I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yep. Pretty good, isn't it?
I guess.
Let's see here.
That's about a little over 3 years.
171.
That's like 3.25 years.
We missed some. We lost some. Not many, but maybe about five or so, didn't we, at the beginning?
Did we lose that many shows?
I think, remember, at the other station, two or three there that didn't record.
It was in downtown Tulsa at the radio station, operator error. They didn't turn the recorders on.
We haven't lost anything here.
We've never lost a show here. We've had a couple of late starts. We had a couple times where we had to, like, stop and start again.
Right.
But, I mean, we've never, like, lost a show.
Yeah, I think we've lost maybe three or four.
We used to have a lot more technical difficulty at the radio station.
Yeah, we did.
We never started on time. There was always some drama going on. And as soon as we moved to the ranch, everything was just going along smoothly.
Yeah. Yeah, the learning curve didn't take long, did it?
No. I have no clue. You didn't ask a lot of questions tonight. I don't know what you want to talk about. I really don't know where you want the show to go tonight. I really don't. I'm actually kind of ad-libbing. I'm just rambling for the one or two that... What do you want to talk about? Does it have to be about God and Jesus and all that kind of stuff?
Well, maybe we can talk about just some similarities by using some well, I don't want to use the word political, but just some ideas of our country and how out of touch people are with the country, how quickly things are sliding in certain directions, and people, our country's changing, the face of it's changing. The potential of a vote for things of the past are really changing very quickly.
But what's it have to do with someone getting closer to God?
Well,
nothing.
Well, if you relate some of the ways that people don't really, here's my point. People go along with the flow all the time without having much individual thought. And those that do have an individual thought usually end up thinking there's nothing that I can do.
Right.
And when you put some of those thoughts together with what we call Christianity, modern religion, I think it fits really well that people have really gone along with just what's ever been spewed out of the pulpits, especially the more flowery that it is, the more scripture that's used seems to always encourage people that the angle is right and what's being said is accurate. Well, but no one very rarely becomes accountable to whether or not Christ is really in someone's life.
I had somebody come buy hay last night. They wanted 2 bales of hay to keep their dog warm because the Midwest in the United States of America is getting like a kind of a cooler snap for a couple of days.
Right.
And they started to tell me, real nice couple, late 20s, not a lot of money, you know, just trying to do right by their dog. And they collect potholders.
Hmm.
And they spent 15 minutes telling me about their potholder collection. Now, you have to understand something. They corrected me. Because an oven mitt is not a potholder. Did you know that?
No. It has to be separate from being able to put your hand in it?
Yep. It's not an oven mitt. It's potholders.
Okay.
Potholders. And folks, let it be said that not once have you ever heard this show and not learned something. An oven mitt is not a potholder, and a potholder is not an oven mitt. You can just go about your life now knowing that. I wonder how many people are grateful for the knowledge that a potholder is not an oven mitt,
right?
And an oven mitt is not a potholder.
I'm really not sure.
Praise Jesus!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well?
What do you want to talk about? Potholders or?
No.
Do you have a potholder in your kitchen?
Yeah, sure. Bunches of them.
What color are they?
We've got tan ones. We've got red ones. We've got a couple that are different colored.
Jim, no, nobody cares.
You asked me.
Nobody cares about the pot. Do you really? Okay, right now there's three factions. All the listeners of the show right now can be collectively pigeonholed into three fractions.
Okay.
Okay. One fraction says, Jim, I love your show, but who cares about your stupid potholders? Who cares about potholders? Okay, then there's the other section. They're too busy laughing about the potholder. They think, you know, they're thinking, I can't believe these guys are talking about potholders. So there's a few that think it's humorous. And then there's a third group. They're right now, they're praying. They're going, please, God, please, can you just put these two boys back in the straight and narrow and get the show on? Please, God, help them. Well, I pray in their name. They're praying for us because they think we have lost it.
I think people pray for us a lot. In fact, I get people on the road that'll say, boy, I'm really praying for you on that show with that cowboy.
Do they really say that?
Yeah. You never know what he's
going to
say.
What do I do? What do I ever do?
You never know what he's going to say, do you? I said, nope, I don't. Boy, there's sometimes we really have to pray for you.
Well, obviously, guess what? Their prayers don't work, do they?
Well, I don't know.
We're talking about potholders.
Well,
so apparently they're not. Okay.
I didn't start the potholders.
Huh?
I didn't start talking about potholders.
Well, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
This is okay. There's a type of apathy that is running amok, and we have listeners all over the world, and if anybody knows anything about me at all, they know that unless I can get someplace with a pickup truck, a gun, a sack of candy, and a dog, I don't go. Mm-hmm. So I don't fly. I don't take ocean liners. If I can't get there with a pickup truck, a gun, a sack of candy, and a dog, as far as I'm concerned, it's not no reason for me to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't speak intelligently about other countries, but I can about the United States of America, and that's the majority of our listener base. There is an epidemic proportion of I don't care.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a combination of I don't care, I'm too busy, there's nothing I can do about it.
I think that's a big one right there.
It's not my fault.
Yep.
It's always been that way. It's nothing but a total list of plan B, get out of jail excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the situation. People are drowning in that attitude, in that philosophy.
Yeah.
They do it at work. Kids do it at school. They do it in their hobbies, in their playtimes. They do it with their neighbors. Well, if I call the police, they're not going to do anything about it. Well, I'm not going to report it to my insurance company because they'll just raise my rates. What's the point? Nobody cares. It doesn't matter. Well, I'm the only one that cares about this. And what's the point? But yet, everybody has a companion and an opinion and a complaint.
Sure.
But nobody, everybody is barking like a dog, but not very many people can bite like a dog.
Right. There's. I think the word that could be added to this is there's a real epidemic of no accountability.
Well, and here's where we're going with this. If your life is like that, even if your life is a little bit like that,
yeah.
And you go to bed with that mind frame and life and reality, you wake up in that life and reality, and you've been doing it your whole life, no matter how many years it is, what do you think the mathematical odds are that you're not going to believe someone who is preaching the gospel that fits that reality? Well, we don't always understand God's plan. God has a plan for everything. It's God's will, and we're sorry that they died, but we just don't understand. But God's got bigger, better plans for them. Well, you know, sometimes God answers every prayer, but sometimes the answer's no, and you get all these platitudes and all these things. Why wouldn't so many millions of people, the majority of people, why wouldn't they accept that?
Right.
And obviously they do, because there are all kinds of liars, thieves, malcontents, crooks, and misinformed people who are making a very good living preaching such platitudes. And there are millions upon millions of people that watch them on TV, buy their books or DVDs, go to huge auditoriums around the world, and participate in such falsehood.
Yeah.
Because it fits.
Right, society.
It fits civilization.
Yep.
Society, the world. It fits the TV shows they watch. It fits the songs they listen to. It fits the books they read. It is a perfect fit, like a custom-made shoe.
Mm-hmm.
So when they read scripture and they look in the book, it sounds nice. It sounds like it's exactly what they want, and it makes perfect sense. But here is the rub. There is nothing, absolutely nothing about the times that we live in that you can compare to Scripture and say, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally the opposite.
I think that's one of the hardest things in interpretation of Scripture. Don't you? That there's such a divide now between what our day is like and what it was like back then. Things are so fast and so busy and so congested with options and alternative methods of everything and anything that really contradicts having Christ in your life. It almost makes it difficult when you read the Scriptures to be able to relate it to the things of our day. You really have to realize how different it was back in their day.
Not every day, but frequently.
Uh-huh.
Kind of casually around my little part of the world, it's kind of gotten around that if I pray or if I think about something, it goes well.
Mm-hmm.
And this bothers people because I don't dress the part, I don't talk the part. And every once in a while, somebody will say, you know, some of the words you use, they're not nice words. And I'll say, and they'll say, well, some of the phrases you say aren't very pleasant to hear. And I mean, you mean like, there's no more cookies? I said, that's a pretty bad one for me. Ran out of ice cream?
Right.
That's blasphemy. You ran out of ice cream? How can you run out of ice cream? That's blasphemy. And they go, no, you know what I'm talking about. And I look at them and I say, your relationship with the guys, your belief in Christ has to be more than about vocabulary.
Right.
What good does it do to say really nice, wonderful things in a prayer and nothing happens?
Sure. Sure.
If you don't have a relationship or a connection or conviction to believe in what you're saying.
Right.
I says, I'm here to tell you the guys are more interested in having having a relationship with them than they are the way you address them.
Yeah.
Because it has nothing to do with your words. That doesn't make sense. There's a million languages on the face of the planet. And I says, you can go from one end of the country to the other, from sea to signing sheet, sea, and there's different terms for sandwiches. And I said, it has to be more, it has to be more substance to it.
Yeah.
And, oh, we got a text. It says, please talk about practically using grace, especially in regard to healing. So apparently they don't want to talk about potholders.
I don't think so. That might not have gone over
well. I don't even know if we have anybody listening. I think we scared them off. I think they're gone. We got it. Well, wait. We got an email. It says, what is going on in Jim's meetings? Any testimonies from your recent meetings on the road? This is from someone named Barbara.
Yeah, we've had some real good things. We were just up in Smith Falls, Ontario, which is about an hour out of Ottawa. In fact, my trip up to Ottawa was quite eventful. I flew from Tulsa to Washington, D.C., had my flight canceled to Ottawa. They rerouted me that night at 10:30 at night, and I got in around 12 o'clock to Chicago, and had to leave at 6 o'clock in the morning from Chicago to Ottawa to be there at 9 o'clock to drive an hour and a half to get there so that I could speak at 11. So I slept in the airport on a bench. So that was my trip up there. But when we got there, had real good meetings and had a bunch of people healed. Had some wonderful things take place with... in fact, I got another testimony today on my Facebook. Someone Facebooked me and said how all the pain that they had in their intestines, and they had all this backup of, acid reflux and all that kind of stuff. They couldn't eat, that all that disappeared, and they were able to eat fine, We had three or four people that were healed that way, and they testified to it. We had some people that were healed. We had at least three people where their shoulders were healed,
yeah,
which was real fun. And had a lady that got healed of migraines. She usually gets them every single day and multiple times a week. So, which would be if you had them every single day. But, I mean, it seems like more than just once a day. And she was healed that same service. Really good. Real, real good. In fact, I thought it was very interesting. I had a young man that kind of dressed like a lady.
Yeah.
That was struggling with whether or not he was whatever he was.
Right.
And he came forward. His mother wanted me to cast the devil out of him. And he
because
said,
because he was in a dress?
Yeah, and his hair was way over, had a hat on, his hair was way down in front of his face, and had a mask across his face, you know, and it looked like he had long fingernails.
A mask or a veil?
No, like a ski mask almost across his face.
Okay.
Here, you know, that he was talking behind, you know.
Right.
And so he said, so my mom wants me to have the devil cast out of me. And he said, what do you think? And I said,
yeah, what did you do?
I said, there's no devils in you. I said, you just want to be this way.
And so how'd that go over with mom?
Well, she was crying a little bit, but he looked at me and said, that's right. And I said, yeah, I know that's right. And I said, there's no sense me casting a devil out. I said, you want to be this way. You're making a choice. And I said, at any choice that you, any time you want to, you can make a choice toward God and enjoy his love and enjoy his grace. And I said, it's not about me just trying to make you do anything. I said, I'm here to present something that's real. And he said, well, the problem is, he said, all the people I know that preach, he said, none of them are worth anything. And he said, they've never shown me any part of Christ that gives me a reason to want Christ. I said, well, you just said a mouthful. I said, that's probably right. And I said, I'm sorry to hear that. I said, but if you saw something that was legit, he said, if I did, then I'd make a decision. I said, well, did you see anything this morning? He goes, well, I did. I saw healings. And I said, but you don't want to make any type of decision? He goes, well, no, I want to be this way. I said, that's why I said you wanted to be this way. And he went off. And I said, well, that's your choice. It's okay.
I don't know. I think it sounds like it went well.
I thought, I mean, what am I going to do? Try to persuade him to do something he doesn't want to do?
You can't.
That's not going to work.
I'm going to incorporate this text message that says, please talk about practically using grace, especially in regard to healing. I don't really understand the text because grace is healing. So practically using grace, especially in regard to healing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, it's kind of a confusing statement or question to me. But if you're, it goes back to not the way we started the show with potholders, but the way we talked about how there's an apathy of, I don't care, I'm too busy.
Right.
There's nothing I can do about it anyway, is kind of an attitude.
Yeah.
There's what I like to call grace lazy. I see a lot of people that are grace lazy. They read scripture. They might listen to the show. They might, they figure out that there's a God. They figure out that there's grace.
Right.
And they just figure that there's nothing for them to do. That it's, they literally can just sit back in a comfortable chair and everything is going to be fine. That they have no responsibility to participate.
Right.
What they don't realize when it comes to scripture and healing is, there was a group of guys who had somebody on a stretcher who caved a roof in.
Right.
To come down into a building through a roof.
Yeah, that's not grace lazy.
A lady crawled on her hands and knees.
Right.
Just to touch the back of Jesus' blue jeans.
Yeah.
Blind people stumbled for weeks and miles just to go to one of the gatherings that Jesus was talking to.
Sure, sure.
That's not grace lazy.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that you have to take your shoes and socks off on and walk on broken glass for Jesus or anything. But what I'm saying is that you have to actively participate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody, a smart aleck at the feed store says, oh, hey, he called me Mr. Successful Prayer. He's such a schmuck. He's such an idiot. And he goes, hey, he says, why are you loading those feed sacks in the back of your truck? Why don't you just have Jesus load them for you? And I says, he is. And he goes, well, you're doing it. And I says, yeah. I says, but God gave me a lot of strength to throw these around like they're pillows.
Right. What do you say?
He just goes, oh, well, aren't you clever? That's what, you know. But, I mean, it's like you have a brain. And the more you're educated and the more open-minded you are and the more creative you are, you can figure out what to put in your hand. Should it be a knife, a fork, or a spoon? Should it be a hammer or a saw? Well, grace to healing is realizing that you don't need a healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember what I told you if I ever was to start a religious organization, there'd be a big sign
right
outside that said, been there, done that, really don't care.
Yeah, I think one of the phrases you used one time, whether you meant it for this or not, was bought and paid for, the church of the unconcerned.
Unconcerned. That's another, yeah. Bought and paid for, the church of the unconcerned.
Yeah.
What's there to care about?
Right.
I understand that people have aches and pains. I understand that people want results. But the results are in.
Yeah.
You were born with a spirit.
Right.
I mean, either you were born with God's love and a spirit, or you were born with a devil child in you and they should make a movie out of you. It's one or the other. You have to decide. So if you say, no, I was born with the love of God in me, you've just admitted the love of God. You've got grace in you. And so practically using grace for healing, that's kind of, it seems out of sorts for me.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that people have, I think, is they can't get a grip. They can't turn it into reality that if you're born with grace and you have grace and you've been saved and you're really subscribing to the entire philosophy of the book and scripture, that worrying about a healing or working towards a healing is exactly what negative energy wants you to do.
Right.
Because you have the mindset that something needs to be done. There's yeah. more to it.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That closes the door on what you already have.
Yeah, I remember being with that one pastor friend down in North Carolina, and we were out outside, and the countryside was beautiful, and there was some lakes around us, and some still probably about maybe 35% of the colorful leaves were still on the trees there in the fall time. And there wasn't a bit of wind or air moving. It was just quiet and still, and it was in the morning. And I just said to Michael, I said, hey, just turn around and look right now. Do a 360 degree and look at everything you can see. And we both did it together. And when we were done, now we were looking up at some ravines where trees were. We were looking at some beautiful green grass. We were looking at lakes. There was some fish jumping. There were some fowl that were flying across the lake. And we could hear some, almost sounded like Canadian loons, but they weren't. They were just,
right.
You know, some of the birds there. And I said, after we did that, 306, I said, now take that in. And I said, now listen to this. There's nothing different from what you just saw and someone getting out of a wheelchair or having a tumor, cancerous tumor, disappear inside their body. And my point was, when Jesus took our infirmity and he bore our sickness and he took our pains, folks, it's literal. It's not just some broad stroke that everybody has to go through it, but there's a concept. It's a literal thing. Jesus defeated these things so that you don't have to have them. And the reason why something so surreal as a countryside or a beautiful scenery, or even like Jesus talked about, the birds that are fed or the flowers that are clothed, is so important is because there's nothing that is a mountain. There's no big problems anymore. Jesus handled these things so that you could enjoy grace. And BJ, this is the one thing that I've been saying a lot when I've been going to different places now, is telling people, if you want to use your faith on anything, your conviction about God on anything, use it for a greater relationship with God. Instead of trying to use it to get healed, enjoy more of his grace. Enjoy more of his presence, and you'll find that you're not sick.
You literally have a choice, folks. And like I said, it's simple. It's just not easy. You can choose to live in the world and spend your days completely drowning in bills and taxes and the price of gas and whether your favorite TV show has been canceled and for kids, your grades, your homework assignments, and
right.
And whether someone picks on you at school, or whether you've lost your favorite socks and underwear, whatever. You can literally drown yourself in the day-to-day turmoil and dramas of living in this world. That's why there is so much emphasis on there's nothing good of the flesh or in the world.
Yeah.
This is temporary. I find it very perplexing when so many people who know so much about Scripture, because I don't know anything, and they know that book cover to cover, and they've been saved for years, and they've been somewhere to worship, and who knows how many times they've eaten those flavorless little crackers and that warm, nasty grape juice, and they've just had so many communions, but yet they are still drowning in the belief that grace is supposed to make the adjustments and come to them in this world.
Mm-hmm.
When it says there's nothing good of the flesh, there's nothing good of the world, and God's love and power and lifespan has no limits and no boundaries, and neither does your spirit or your soul, why a mere 50 to, well, say even 100 years? You live to be 100 years old, that's a spit in the ocean compared
right.
to
right.
who you really are as a right. child of God.
Right.
Why to place so much emphasis on the little things that happen Sorry. In that small, quote-unquote, lifespan of your body,
right?
I don't get it.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. You made a comment earlier, BJ, about participation. We have a participation in the things that God has done for us, and I think this is probably, and folks, my motivation, so you know, for the year 2015 is for you to be able to share with us constantly the testimonies of God's grace and the wonderful things that God's doing in your life, because you're learning how to participate, just what we're talking about, with grace. Now, I was going to say this. You know, the fact that the finished work of Christ is finished is the premise for the reason why we have every right to be able to participate with God, experience God, enjoy God, and then testify to other people about God. It's because of the finished work of Christ. The finished work of Christ is not the end, it's the beginning of your relationship. So instead of trying to just quote, like I know a lot of people do, they'll spend time quoting that they're righteous because the righteousness of God, and we learn from Scriptures that because of our righteousness, we abound and there's an abundance of grace. But again, remember, that's a position that you have in Christ. The participation has to do with you not just knowing there is grace, but recognizing grace, using grace, and then testifying to the grace of God. In other words, God's grace is his influence. I like to say it this way. God's grace is an enhancement upon everything you could or wanted to do. It's God's enhancement in your life. It's the ability of God to supersede this world and the flesh and enhance you to be able to testify to wonderful things of Christ. And this life of grace is not there to do it for you. From the standpoint that we twiddle our thumbs and God just does everything, grace works with you. And as you participate with God, as you enjoy God, then you'll find that grace does everything. Well, but there has to be a participation.
Let's go to the cornerstone of God's message, the book of Genesis. The punishment, find Genesis, all right?
Yep.
And I want you to get where it talks about the punishments, what everybody's going to get.
Okay.
The serpent, Adam, Eve, okay?
Yep.
Now, when you find it, okay, I want you to find it in two places. I want you to find it in the King James Version, and then I want you to find it like in the something more modern word version.
Okay.
Whatever that would be. You know what I mean? Like everyday language?
Yep.
Okay, while Jim's looking those up, I want you guys to think about something for a second, okay? Think about the life that you live, the world that you live in, and what is real to you. I mean like going to the car wash, going to the grocery store, listening to this radio show, going to jobs, going to school. I forgot. Speaking of school, guess what happened today?
What's that?
Had a trespasser at the ranch.
You did.
Climbed under the gate and walked all the way up while I was working on a tractor. Trespasser.
For what?
Just remind me about the trespasser.
Okay.
In the show. Because the trespasser is listening to the show.
All right.
So anyways, think about this, folks. Okay. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve are fine. There's no talk about hunger, sleep, work. Wants, needs, or desires. They are literally with Christ 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
There's no talk of sleep or hunger or even being too full of food. Everything is perfect. Now, in the punishment of man being Adam and Eve, the punishment of the serpent was to have a reality change so that they would get wrapped up in their own life, their own dramas, their own realities. Okay, now read that.
Well, this is the King James, New King James. And the first part of it goes to the enemy, to the devil, to the serpent. It says, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, capitalized, which is Christ. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. And then to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And then it says, and then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. But thorns and thistles it shall bring forth, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and for dust you shall return.
Okay, now folks, I want you to think about something. Think about the punishment of Adam and Eve and the reality of their life and how they had to work and they were concerned about food and clothing and money and the way their life went. And then compare their life to your life. And more importantly, think about what you pray for, what you want grace to do for you. And you can see that some of you want things changed differently that are actually the punishment of man, that have nothing to do with Christ. There's no way that grace would even be involved in such things. But yet, those become the mainstay and the goal of your worshiping. And don't feel bad, because think about all the songs, all the TV shows, all the books, the magazines, the movies that you've watched your whole life, and the overwhelming majority of organized religious groups. What happens after you join? You're saved. You're baptized. You have a communion. Everybody hugs you, gives you a cup of coffee and a cookie, and they tell you that that's it, you have it. And all of a sudden, that's all there is. That's all they offer. It never goes anywhere. There's no productivity. Right. There's no change.
Yeah.
There's no absoluteness. And all of a sudden, you find out that what you believe Christianity is, what you believe is a way to worship, what you believe is going to get you to heaven, it's literally exactly the same as every other part of your life.
Yeah.
That's why it's so comfortable.
Sure.
That's why it's so easy to fall into.
Yeah.
That's why it's so popular. And that's also why it fails.
Yeah.
Because it's more about the flesh and the world than it is about heaven and Christ.
It's interesting. As light is, and as dark is, and coming to Christ is moving from the darkness to the light. Colossians 1 and verse 12 tells us that he brought us out of the darkness and into the light. The moment you go to most religious places, they'll convince you black is not black anymore. Light, white is not white anymore. It's all gray.
Plan B.
And it immediately begins to tear away at the realness of God. And that's why so many testimonies over the course of our show have been shared along this line, that when I experienced God in my life and met Christ, I immediately began to have experiences with him. We'd just say, my wife and I would get together and we'd just say a little prayer and didn't even know how to say it, but we'd get an answer. And we'd be spending some time just thinking about him, and his presence would just come on us, and we knew it was him.
It can't be about words. It can't be about your language. It can't be about whether you speak English, Spanish, or German. It just can't, because what happens to someone who doesn't speak?
Right.
They're a mute. What happens to someone that lives in a small, little grass shack community, deep, dark in the Amazon jungle? And they have their own language and their own terminology for things.
Right.
Because now you have to say, well, if you don't look like me, you don't talk like me, you don't dress like me, then you don't get to go. And how many nut jobs have everybody listening to the show ran into those types before?
Sure, sure.
It has to be more substance. And quite frankly, most people fall into a very interesting category. You're really not good enough for heaven, and you're really not doing enough bad for hell. You're really just spinning your wheels. You're really not sinning too bad, but you're really not connected to grace either. You're just kind of there.
Well, remember, we talked before the show, you mentioned the word Judas.
Yeah.
And I think that pretty well kind of sums it up. I mean, Judas was, he was a Jesus boy, but he was also the Pharisees' boy.
Yeah.
He didn't walk a fine line. He walked right down the middle. And what did it end up doing to him? It destroyed him.
Well, he wanted the best of both.
Right.
And he got greedy.
It ruined him.
Yeah.
And that's really, if you think about it, if we're wanting so badly to hold on to both.
Well, I use that under the category of someone who it's kind of out of context, because we were talking about people who are worried about what people think of them.
Yes.
And I said, there's a lot of people that they overextend themselves. They have a nice house, nice clothes, nice cars, and they have to keep those things, because if they change or they lose those, then they're worried about what friends and family are going to think of them. And so they're worried about their overall impression, what everybody thinks of them.
Mm-hmm.
What the world thinks of them, what people think
right.
of them.
Right.
And so they have to busy themselves to keep the status quo and to be concerned about things.
Well, you know, you said something talking about Adam and Eve in the garden that I wanted to stop you and just point it out, but I just let you go. But now's a good time to bring it up. You said there were no wants and there were no desires. Now, people need to really pay attention to that, because the more real God becomes, the more you'll lose your earthly and worldly wants and desires. As long as the world is still big in your mind and heart, then you're going to want and want and want like everybody else does.
The less I care, the less I care, the less concerned I am, the less I plan and try to organize, the more I get done. The more grace is allowed to afford me
yeah.
and to show me.
Grace has freedom, doesn't it?
Well, that's the whole point.
Yep, getting out of the way.
Because freedom is what having a relationship with the guys is about.
You're right.
Because you're not free when you're a slave to maintaining an earthly, fleshly reality.
Yeah, that's right.
That's going nowhere.
Yeah.
We got a text that says, how do we undrone ourselves? The way you, robot, drone.
Drone, yeah.
Mindless person. The way you undrone yourself, well, the hardest part is that you already understand that you need to change.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the biggest problems that people have with a relationship with Christ is they don't realize what they're doing isn't working. Once you realize it isn't working, then it's just very simple to decide on whether you want to change.
That's right.
Or whether you're just too lazy, too afraid, whatever phrase you want to coin it, to implement something. We got some emails. We got one here that says, BJ, the votes are in, at least from this house. Your story last week about the horse pasture gate is officially your best radio show story of 2014. Carry on, Mulligan Tim.
Hey, that's good.
Yep, good old Mulligan Stew Tim.
Yep.
Out of North Carolina. Okay, we got another one here that says, healed puppy. It says, I adopted a Labrador Retriever Great Dane puppy just before Christmas. He was limping after walks. When he was cold and after play, Dad said he may have been hit by a car. We prayed and told Harley, must be the puppy's name, Harley, he was fine and wouldn't limp again. We didn't even notice when it happened, but he's not limping anymore. Grace is great. Hope you liked my brother today, but he's not that nice at home. It says, Weaver kids learning in their jammies. Okay, today I had a trespasser.
Okay.
I'm on the tractor doing some work around the barns, and I could see somebody down at the gate.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't expecting anybody, and you know me, I could, you know, I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, then I saw him get out, and it was kind of cold and windy, and then I saw him climb under the gate, and I thought, well, I could drive the tractor down there and meet him. And I just chuckled, and I said, no, I think I'm just going to let him walk all the way up here.
Uh-huh.
So I just kept working. And guess who it was? It was one of the Weaver kids.
Really?
I didn't even know they lived in the Tulsa area.
Huh.
And it was the son. His name's Daniel.
Okay.
He's 15 years old. And he begged and pleaded. He said, please, he says, I'll sleep in the barn. I'll make a bed in the indoor arena, a treehouse. And he says, I just got to get away from my family. I just got to move. I got to get away from them. They're just driving me. No, he didn't say that.
Oh, she was. You had me going for a second.
No, actually, he was very polite. And he's just looking for work.
Uh-huh.
He's homeschooled. Weaver right. kids are homeschooled.
Right.
And so that makes it impossible to cut school.
Right.
That's tragic. I feel sorry for him. And he's just, but, you know, this time of year.
Sure.
You know, plus I only got enough for, you know, three people and myself. But I don't know. He seemed like he was in reasonably good shape. Seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Maybe sometime in the spring or summer, I might be able to call him and, you know.
Sure.
But met his mom.
Uh-huh.
She was down. I drove down there. I gave him a ride in the tractor. And I drove down and talked to her a little bit. And she said that one of the kids listens to the show every day.
Yeah.
Poor little thing.
Yeah. Isn't that sad?
I think it's... Yeah. I mean, yeah. She needs a hobby.
Right.
And, but, yeah. So, hello to the Weaver kids and Weaver mom.
Yep.
Weaver dad somewhere out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They come to the Wednesday night.
They do? The whole family?
Well, a bunch of the kids have come, but... No, it's usually just the mom that'll come. And
yeah.
I mean, they've got, I don't know how many kids they got, 6, 7, or 8 or so.
I don't know. This email is from Tatiana.
Okay.
I hope I said that right. Tatjana.
Yeah, they've got a bunch of kids.
But, yeah, Weaver kids.
Hello to all the Weaver kids tonight.
So, yeah, I thought you'd get a kick out of that. That was my trespasser.
Yeah,
okay, we got another email that came in about 27 minutes ago. It says, great to be able to listen live tonight. Loved learning about potholders and oven mitts. I was just heating up some dinner, so that came in real handy.
Good. That's not Sue, is it?
No, this is from somebody named Will. Listening with my wife, Julie, and my daughter, Gabriella, and looking forward to hearing the rest of what God has given you for us. Well, said he's cooking.
Yeah, I wonder where he's from.
I don't know. Dad's cooking, and Julie the mom, and Gabriella the daughter has to eat what Dad's cooking.
Okay.
Maybe we should... Now, maybe
I'm just wondering if some of them are from the church I was just at in Smith Falls.
I don't know. I wonder what he was heating up. I hope it was something decent for mom and daughter. We got another one here that says, in the subject of provision, can you substitute the word healing with provision regarding... what you just said. Now, the word provision, you know what the word provision is? Provisions.
Well, yeah.
You know, providing, supplying.
Sure. Necessities.
Yeah. You could, I guess.
Sure. It's all...
It's semantics, but yeah, I don't think that's a bad thing.
3 John 2. John has 3 epistles, and he has a little one. His third one is a little one. And it starts out this way. Beloved, above all things... I desire that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So look at where John puts the emphasis. He says it's God's desire for you to be in health and to prosper. But what does he say? Your soul needs to prosper.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it all fits in the same category. But I can't stress enough, and especially in this new year, this is a year for us all. You know, and when I say this, I mean, I really appreciate my time here in the barn talking to BJ, because really and truly, there's one thing you've really guarded yourself against, which is hats off to you. Not many people would, but that goes back to, at least from what I gather, you see the big picture more than most people do, and that's what makes your choices a lot better than most. But you've guarded yourself against materialism.
Yeah,
you really have. You really could have, if you wanted to, and you wanted to exploit the system and work the horse system, you could be pretty much on almost every other horse trailer, your picture of you and Ranger.
Yeah, I have.
There is. But you chose not to.
When I was really young, I was real young. I was 8 years old. I was starting my apprenticeship. And... you know, I'm around all these World War II and Korea veterans, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can't get more absolute than them.
Right.
You think this is a bad day? You wait till somebody's lobbing grenades at you. That's a bad day. You think it's cold? You ought to be in Europe. That's cold. You know. And
did they have an effect upon you with the materialism, too?
Well, Yeah, because they valued interesting things.
Okay.
Like one time it was pouring rain.
Uh-huh.
And we were sitting in a barn, and one of the cowboys, he lit a cigarette. He took a long draw off it, and then he blew a bunch of smoke rings. You know, just ring, ring, ring.
Right.
And then he looked at me, and he says, lucky for you, you'll never know what it's like to have a dry pack of cigarettes. And then he just put it in his pocket, and that's all he said. And I didn't know what in the world he meant until 20 years later. I was watching a World War II movie, and these guys were in a foxhole. And he said, have you got a cigarette? And he says, I'd die if I had a dry pack of cigarettes.
Huh.
And I thought, I almost got into tears. I thought,
right.
Oh my gosh, that's what, you know. And then I thought, here, that's what he meant. He was just sitting there on a bale of hay, you know, realizing the value
of a dry cigarette versus being in a
foxhole
with them
in war.
I remember
in
seeing
battle.
The movies where they try to light something and it half be falling apart.
And, but, I just, it was really tough. And I'll tell you what was really good for me is, this is going back 15 years. This is going back 15 years. My radio show about horses was a year old. I was embattled in a major contract dispute with a local radio station in Tulsa. And a huge broadcasting company from back east, they said, well, if you're willing to drive 120 miles to Oklahoma City, we'll make you a really good deal for you to do your radio show from Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing the radio show in Oklahoma City, and it was a hub. It was the Midwest hub for one of the largest radio station conglomerates in the country.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking thousands upon thousands of radio stations all over the country. Well, I used to get there a couple hours early before my show. And in walks, do you know who Paul Harvey is?
I do. Yep. Rest of the story.
Yeah, Paul Harvey walked in, and I recognized him immediately because when I was a little kid, he used to do a little, he'd stand in front of a pulpit, and he was on the news at night. He did a little saying.
Okay.
You know, and then at the end, he'd say, this is Paul Harvey, good day. And he'd have this little kind of quirky smile on his face. I knew he was, and I go, oh, my gosh, Mr. Harvey. And he says, I know who you are. And he says, I listen to you talk about horses all the time. Because, see, I was on like 17 stations around the Midwest. And he says, when we're traveling on a Sunday night, he says, there's not much to listen to, and we listen to you talk about horses. And he says, I got a lot to learn about radio. And he says, you do. And he says, I'm going to tell you something. And I said, please. And he says, I just want you to think about this. He says, you have a really good show. He says, you can either have a good show and you can be a very wealthy man, or you cannot make very much money and you can have a fantastic show. And he says, oh, I got to go. And I said, what? You know, because I was enamored. It's Paul Harvey.
Right.
You know, and I'm sitting there with a cheeseburger in one hand, you know, and a fry in the other with my feet up on a desk.
Sure.
You know, I didn't even get to shake his hand. And it was just like high bye in and out of the room. And I was just thinking about that. And then it dawned on me, he was talking about quality versus quantity.
Yeah.
And I've never been a materialistic person. I mean, money. I mean, look, hey, I like a buck as much as the next guy. But I mean, money, I don't, you know, money,
well, people only
money
knew,
doesn't control me. I control
people only
money.
Knew the stories that you've told me about how you worked the system even as a high school kid.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they'd just be flabbergasted to know that in the end of the scheme, you still didn't go out and just spend lavishly and build yourself this little monument of how much money you had or what you could do with it. And this goes back to some of these things we're talking about.
For 16 years, my radio show has cost me an ungodly amount of money. I mean, in other words, if you looked at it, you could say that show's put me in the poorhouse.
Right.
The show about horses. Ford Motor Company has offered me 12 new trucks. Purina Feeds has offered me as many semi-loads of duck chow, cow chow, puppy chow,
really?
Horse chow.
Oh, wow.
I've been offered free saddles. I've been offered all kinds of things if I would just let people advertise on the show. If I would just drive around in a truck that looks like a NASCAR race car, you know, with companies and stickers all over it, and shirts that say Wrangler and, you know, all this stuff, you know, so you look like a walking billboard. And I've just never done it because I knew that I wasn't any smarter or any better than the next guy. And my peers in the world of horses, they, you know, they say, well, I'd really like to say what you say, but I can't because I'd lose my sponsor. You know, or like I was talking to one guy on the phone 2 weeks ago, and he says, yeah, he says, Purina's get me a new semi-truck. And I says, well, I guess you can't say anything bad about Purina, can you? And he says, no, I'd be lost. I need that truck. And I'm and see, it's about you sell your soul.
Yeah, and now you're actually getting over into the quote-unquote church world, where how many people behind a pulpit find themselves catering to those that give the biggest offerings.
Well, it's never more of a point than right now when you were going to go to a building not far from the ranch and you were going to speak, and the guy whose building it is, you told him what you were going to talk about, and he really liked it, but he said, well, if you're that absolute, we might lose a few. He was more concerned about upsetting his parishioners and maybe losing a few people than he was giving them the truth. Think about this for a second. Think about how dangerous of a statement that is for a minister to say. He's more concerned about collectively keeping the building happy than he is about the information that he gives them.
Right, or the advancement of the people.
And what did I tell you? I said, I can make your radio show. I said, I can make you rich and famous, but I don't want you to mention my name or where it comes from. I said, I don't want anything to do with it. And I said, but if you want to stick with Grace, I'll help you all I can.
Yeah, well, that wasn't a hard sell for me.
Well, no, not about a hard choice. It was about showing frame of mind.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was already there. I take real well to a challenge, and that was a challenge to me to say, no, let's do this God's way and
well, speaking
run
of
with
challenge,
it.
If you knew now, if you would have known then what you know now about coming to the ranch and having to endure time with me, would you have still done it?
If I knew? Well, yeah, I was hungry enough to do anything.
Oh, notice he said, so it doesn't matter if I'm a good cook or not. He was starving. He's just going to eat whatever I serve.
Yeah. Well,
wow, there's a compliment.
I mean, that's how you weigh it. That is. But, hey, but that goes back to what was personal in my relationship with God.
We got an email about 17 minutes ago. It says, ever since Adam bit the apple, man has tried to substitute knowledge for faith, technology for divine guidance. That's from Tim.
Yeah.
We got another email here that says, hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Will, Julie, and Gabriella are from Mariposa, home of Yosemite.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they've emailed before. And remember, he was cooking something. It says, had leftover beans, Spanish rice, and yams for dinner tonight.
Yeah, hey, let's ask them.
There's no meat.
Hey, guys, what's the weather like out there? Because I think the storms are coming from out there, the cold snap.
Wait a minute. We have an okay, he fed his family
what
beans.
Was it?
Okay, they got leftover beans, leftover rice, and leftover yams. That's what they had for dinner.
Yeah, but you got a lot of protein with the beans and some starch with the rice.
There's no pork chop. There's no ham. There's no steak. There isn't even meatloaf. There's no chicken. There's no bacon.
Well, we have a bean meal that we do, beans and cornbread.
Wow, that explains a lot.
No, it's good. It's good.
No.
And the beans are hearty. I mean, you can't eat too much, you know, a bowl of them before you're full.
Well, then you're just full of beans.
Well,
and
you
that's
are.
Not something to be full of.
No,
I mean, I feel bad because there's poor Julie and Gabriella, and they don't have a pork chop to save their lives
well,
because
who knows?
Good old
had,
dad is killing them with beans, rice, and yams.
They might have had steak for lunch. Who knows?
I Gabriella and Julie, I just, you know, hey, if you ever, you know, if we can't mail pork. Can we mail?
No.
You can't mail pork
we
chops,
won't get
can
into
you?
Mailing meat, no.
You can't mail pork chops?
Well, I'm sure you could, but we won't.
All right, folks. I want to ask a question of everybody listening to the show tonight. We have literally covered the gambit from potholders to oven mitts to grace. What I want you to do right now is I want you to text the show, and I'm going to tell you how to do that. And I would like you to email the show, and I'm going to tell you how to do that as well. Is I want everybody to chime in. It's a new year, and I want more listener participation. I want more emails and more texts. What I want you to do is I want you just to take about 3 to 5 minutes before you send a text or an email. And really think about what tonight's show is doing in to you, for you, with you. What kind of thoughts you're having. What type of decision you think you need to make. How the information and the conversation, how is it affecting you? In other words, give me a temperature reading. On what's going on in your life as far as what you've heard us say, the scripture that Jim has read, and the overall feel of the show, what effect is it having? Is there changes? Is it giving you food for thought? Is there a message there that just seems to ring true? Because here's the thing, we're all individuals. I mean, if you took me and Jim and Ranger and the Weaver's new puppy, Harley, and you lined us all up with all of our pets and all of our animals in a row, and we looked at one single color, whatever color it was, it would be dark blue, light blue, sky blue, royal blue, faded blue, ugly blue, beautiful blue, we would all have our own perspective on that color that we would look at. So that's why I want you to be individuals and to send us texts and emails right now, mm-hmm. because I think it would be very, very interesting for all of us to see, because we're all listening to exactly the same words.
Sure.
But how is it being absorbed? What does it mean to us? And the reason I want you to do this is that it's the exact same thing with Scripture.
Right.
You can have a room full of people read the same passages of Scripture, and it's going to be as individual as they all are when they walk in the room.
Yeah.
The way you email the show, it's the name of Jim's show, The Abiding Presence. All one word, no space, no capital letters, theabidingpresence at Gmail, the letter G, gmail.com. If you would like to send a text message, the first word that you have to type is the word grace. Once you type grace, then you can type the rest of your text, and when you press the send button, it's just 5 digits, 69302, that is 69302. Now, the email address and the way you text the show are on the radio show's website, www.theabidingpresence.com, on the contacts page. Okay, we got our first text.
All right.
It says, "This show is helping me see the eternal picture and losing the care of the world. Thank you, Jim, BJ, and Ranger."
That's nice.
So we've had our first text.
Hey, I'm going to give a story.
I hope we get a lot of text.
I'll give a story
emails.
Here real quick.
Sure,
give
go ahead.
Them time to write these emails. You know, when I was up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, I was there maybe 2 or 3 times.
Right.
For sure, 2. But I met Dave and Barb, who we do get emails from on the show. And I met them both times, in fact, up there. Real delightful folks, real fun. And so recently, I was talking with Dave, and he was just sharing, well, he shared a lot, and I don't have the time, or I don't remember every detail, wouldn't want to try to mess it up. But in short, Dave just shared about how much the show has helped him, because the whole factor of learning not to care and being able to trust grace instead of working the system, the world system. He said business has skyrocketed. And he said it's all attributed to me learning how to let go and discover grace in everything that I do. He said that was the confidence for me to let go of even the business and the way that I'd want to control it, possibly manipulate it, get involved in it. And he said now, he said it's like things are just gangbusters, and it's never been like that before. And he said it's just so interesting because even with it going gangbusters, the mentality hasn't changed. It's just all about grace. It's just enjoying the ride, experiencing God, he said, on just such a regular basis that as far as the business, it's really taking off. And I thought it was so good because so many people struggle in the area of finances. And surely our choices have so much to do with it. But learning how to let go and let God be a part of what you're doing and where you're going has so much to do with God being able to get his hands involved in what you're doing versus you're holding on so tight God couldn't do anything if he tried. So I wanted to share that testimony. I really appreciated it. And I want to also let you know, folks, again, I'm going to say it more than once, but for the year 2015, I'm kind of on a kick and have been before the year turned. I just knew this is a year for us to step it up in people writing testimonies, because I hear so many good testimonies on the road from people that listen to the show. I just wish you would all write them down. So this is a year we're going to keep at you and encourage you not only to experience God, but to testify. Anything come in?
Yep. Okay, we got an email that came in a minute ago. It says, my perspective on tonight's show. From now on, when I talk to Jesus, I'll make sure I'm seeing myself before the apple instead of after. I'll change what I talk about for sure. Carry on. Oh, by the way, if you send a text message, we don't know who sent it. We don't know. It doesn't show. It just shows a text. Right. And for the rest of the show, when somebody sends an email, unless it's just a hello, how you doing, I'm not going to mention any names.
Okay.
Because I want people to really feel free to express themselves and not be embarrassed or wonder what someone's going to think. So I'm not going to mention any names, but that was a nice email. We got a text that just came in. It says, thank you, Jim and BJ and Ranger, for an awesome year of growing in grace, getting out of the box, experiencing the guys so much more. My heart is happy. Well, that's kind of nice. Let's see. We got another email that came in. It says, tonight was clean out the refrigerator night for leftovers. Had a very hearty lamb stew for lunch with lots of lamb. Julie cheated and stopped off at Taco Wagon. Never heard of Taco Wagon. And ate before coming home. See, this is Will. He's trying to make up for the beans, rice, and yam tragedy. Tell Jim the weather was awesome today here. Full sun and around 70 degrees.
Good.
What are you laughing about?
Oh, it's just...
We are so happy not to have weather like those poor people down by the South Pole. You know, we haven't heard from Trinidad in a while.
No, we haven't.
That you are always talking about. And then, see, this is Will from Mariposa, because, you know.
Right.
Well, he's backstroking because he knows that, you know.
Right.
He knows that beans, rice, and yams a meal don't make.
Hey, this
unless
is...
Unless you're, you know, some, you know.
This is
know.
A small testimony, okay? And it's... And it's in an area, just so you folks know, it's not like it's a spiritual area, okay?
That just came in?
That just came in from Chloe, my daughter, okay?
Is she listening to the show?
I don't know if she is, but
I bet she
sent this testimony tonight. because I was trying to help her to realize with her volleyball practice, she's had some pain in her shoulder where she hits. And I tried to help her realize tonight as we were going, I said, how much, I know this maybe sound crazy. I said, would you rather be a mediocre volleyball player and go to heaven or be the greatest volleyball player in the world and go to hell? And she said, well, heaven for sure. I said, so how much does volleyball have to do with your relationship with God in heaven? She said, well, then not much. I said, that's right. And in fact, even 10, 15 years from now, you'll probably not even think about it. I said, so the point is, why are you giving thought to it now? In other words, why not dismiss the whole idea of the importance of your arm hurting or not hurting and just go out there, not even think about it, enjoy yourself, and have a great night of practice? So she writes me, she said, did what you said and didn't give my arm a reason to hurt and didn't think about it, and it didn't. Much better practice.
Huh. How old is she?
14.
Okay, we got an email, and I recognize two of these names, but the other names I don't, but I'm just going to assume that they're all in the same bucket, okay? Oh, we got a text that says, great to hear Dave's testimony. Thanks.
Well, good.
Okay, it says, I've been Copelandized, Haganized, Prince and Womackized, but didn't grow up churched, so I could accept it all very easily. I absorbed everything I could find in short time as an adult. But every week I listen to the show and I learn it's easier and simpler and haven't reached the end of easier and simpler.
Okay.
So that was an email that just came in.
Okay. Seems like they're enjoying the perspective of what they're receiving here.
Well, they were comparing, you know, what they had done with what they're doing, which is...
Right.
You need to do that. I mean... I think one of the things that I find really sad when I'm just out and about in public is most people, they don't question things. They don't make demands.
No.
They don't question things. They just accept that you have to stand in line. You have to wait. It is the way it is. There's no sense saying anything because they're not going to do anything about it anyways.
That's a part of that whole thing we talked about at the opening where
it snowballs. It gets
it
out of hand until finally anymore you bark but you don't have any bite left.
Right. Right. Well, that's what happened with me when I was at Prayer and Healing School years and years ago when I first went. You know, my first 3 months, I mean, I didn't have any sermon material. I mean, I'd been traveling and singing and just kind of helping and giving short little introductions here and a little sermon here, a little sermon there, you know, sermonettes, you might call them, traveling on the road with Brother Hagin. And when I came to Prayer and Healing School, I didn't really have a whole lot of information. So immediately, I just grabbed the information of the ones that were before me, the other teachers.
Right.
And just kind of copied their stuff, but preached it, you know, and my
right.
style is different from theirs, so it came across different, but, and I'll just say it like it was. It didn't work. It didn't work. I mean, people died like crazy. And the sad thing was, the couple of people we got healed, we didn't have a clue how we got them healed.
Right.
So you can't even duplicate that, right? So I looked at that through the eyes of, let's just be real with ourselves. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm a miserable failure, and I can't deal with that. I mean, I either have to quit and go do something else, or we have to figure out what to do. And it was just that thinking alone which drove me to my knees and said, God, I don't care if I've been taught by the best that there is, supposedly.
Right.
I'm willing to lose everything and be retaught completely by you. And immediately, BJ, when I said that, I didn't have an idea, I didn't have a clue how good of a spiritual prayer that was, but immediately I started getting revelation that was different from what I had known, and immediately we had results. It takes being able to think outside of the boxes that religion puts you in
well,
order to find God.
One perspective that's done a lot for me as far as accepting grace into my life, watching grace do really cool things, is is really looking at the entire picture of things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't pray for rain. I could be in a drought situation. My hay crop could be withering on the vine, and I will not pray for rain, because I know that the rain that I'm praying for is going to hurt somebody, because for every person that is praying for rain, there's somebody that's hopes that it's not going to rain.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe they're replacing their roof. Maybe they're living outdoors and they need nice weather, whatever the reason is. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've got a horse that's sick and it needs dry ground and it can't be any mud and they don't have a barn. A lot of times people don't really, their view of grace is short-sighted.
Sure.
All they see is what they need, what they require, what they want from Christ. They don't see the ramifications. I mean, if you're Jesus, you're not going to turn water into wine if there's a bunch of people that suffer from alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to turn you're not going to turn one loaf of bread into basket after basket of bread. If somebody's allergic to wheat, you're not going to do it.
Sure.
That's grace.
Uh-huh.
Because the real testimony of a child of God is enjoying the grace that you manifest to see what it does for others.
Yeah.
And so instead of praying for rain when you need rain, thank God for good crops and the favorable weather that you require.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it sounds just like what you're saying. Folks, really take heart to what BJ just said. I'll give you scripture on it. And that is, he's basically saying how important it is to have a bigger view, to see the bigger picture. The forest for the trees. We talk about that. We throw that phrase out. But it's not just a quaint little phrase. There's a real importance to it. If you want to know really honestly, me, I like to testify about things on this show. That is one of my prayers to the Lord. That's a continual prayer. Lord, continue to help me to see the forest for the trees. The more you hang around somebody that sees the bigger picture, the more you realize the value of making better qualified decisions. The better your decision is, the more spiritual your decision is, and the greater the connection you'll have, the better answers you're going to have, and the more testimony you'll have. And look at what Paul said when he said, he prayed this prayer, and he said, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he, God, has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set-apart ones. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. And it goes on to say other things, but take that thought right there and realize God wants you to see a bigger picture where spiritual things lie, where your choices can involve grace. I want you to take that to heart, especially in this new year.
We got an email that came in 5 minutes ago. It says, Ranger and others.
I like that.
It says, great show tonight. Absolute living comes to mind when I think about the show over the past year. I feel like Jim. I've been hungry, and your show has given me a lot to think over. This is from somebody in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and they said that the wind chill factor is minus 30 to minus 40 degrees below zero tonight.
Woo.
Okay, we got another email here that came in that said, hey, Ranger and interpretive staff team.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Jim,
we're
you and I
are
an interpretive staff team.
Okay.
It says, Happy New Year's to all the regular listeners.
That sounds like breakfast, Ed.
Excellent revelation that Jim would put up with literally anything. Laugh out loud. Tonight's show is reinforcing that just like in 2014, 2015 will be about caring less and less about things that we used to care about,
yeah,
and continuing to actively see grace more in every part of our lives. All the best. Well, I got to say the name because he said Happy New Year's to everybody.
Huh.
And yeah, it's Breakfast Ed.
Yep.
Okay, we got another email here that came in about 2 minutes ago. It says, hello, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. What we have learned from listening to the show is to simplify things and recognize grace no matter how small. That is how it all starts. The rest will follow. We now recognize grace in everything we do. Thanks for what you fellows do. And this is from Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, I told people I wasn't going to mention any names.
Sure.
Because I really want to encourage people to send emails. There's plenty of time to send an email on what tonight's topic, what it makes you think about. Remember, you can send a text. The first word that you type in your text is the word grace, and then your comment or question, and you send that to 69302, 69302. The email address is the name of Jim's show, The Abiding Presence, at G, the letter Gmail, .com. So, what's tonight's subject done for you, little Jimmy Huckaday?
What's our subject done?
Do you like it? You like the way the show's gone?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, you know, to be honest, I like that we've been a little bit all over the place.
We broke new ground. This is the first radio show in the history of your show that we educated people the difference between a potholder
and an oven mitt.
And an oven mitt.
Yeah. I like that. I really do appreciate the message that we're getting across tonight. It's a constant battle, if you are attached to the world at all, to get yourself out of the way and let grace become evident. And this is so much the importance of what we do on this show. And the reason why we continue each week to not just shower you with the wonderful things of Scripture, I got to say this right, but continue to share with you the pitfalls or the warnings of a world gone really bad. Because to let go of the world, to unhook from the world, to disconnect from the world is to connect with Christ. This is something that I've been sharing with folks, and it really is true, and yet it's so simple. But human beings were made to be connected somewhere at all times to something. The original intention was for a human being out of their spirit to be connected with God's spirit. That's the reason why Jesus, when he came, he said, God is a spirit, and those that worship God will do it out of their spirits. In fact, the Message Bible says you must engage your spirit in the pursuit of worship. So if that's what we were made to do, to be engaged, to be connected, then if you're not connected to God in your spirit, that means you're connected to something else. So this show constantly helps, and even tonight continues to just drive home that point. Be careful. Disconnect from the world or unconnect and reconnect to Christ.
I hope
Grandma's not going to be run over by a reindeer.
Something's happening, folks. You heard it. You heard it here. Something's going on. Something's going on. Here it is, folks. Warning, 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 warning. Here it is. Flash dance. Dance, dance, dance. That's it, folks. Come on. Just get up and move. Stomp your feet. Snap your fingers. It's a surprise dance. It's a new year on Jim's radio show. Everybody dance.
Ranger's sleeping and she's dancing. You know, everyone, you really should loosen up.
Yeah. Come on. I dare you to get up and move.
Why not? What's it going to hurt to just relax for a second, loosen up, and realize the stuff in the world is really not that bad. Come on, this is where a statement like God is good works. When you're just enjoying a few moments to just relax, sway back and forth, move a little bit, and just realize everything's going to be okay. Woo!
Okay, folks. Who danced? We don't know if you know.
I don't care, though.
No, but it was fun.
It was fun, yeah.
That even took you by surprise.
Yeah, it did. I thought it was homework assignment. I was getting ready for homework.
Well, it's funny you should say that because we have a text that says homework assignment with a question mark. Then we have another text that says, what's the best way to disconnect? I'm assuming they mean from the world.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We are racked. We've got emails. We got a bucket of emails.
Let me make this real comment about that disconnect.
Yeah.
Listen, the best way to disconnect is become more absolute.
I'll tell you the best way to disconnect is, I'll tell you what will help you. Look at, you know what? This is the homework assignment. Let's kill two birds with one stone. This is your home. I just came up with this. Well, I didn't come up with it, but you know.
Yeah.
At least they're paying attention. Yeah. I wonder about those guys sometimes. Okay, here's your homework assignment, and what's the best way to disconnect? This is what I want you to do. Before you go to bed tonight, no matter if you're a Weaver kid or your grandma and grandpa, outlaw, biker, your Dave and Barb, Mulligan, Tim, or Breakfast Ed, or Florida Ed, or whoever you are who listens to this show, before you go to bed tonight, now do this privately. Don't share your list with brothers or sisters or mom and dad or husbands and wife. You get the idea. This is your list, and it's nobody's business what's on your list. So parents, leave your kids alone, even if you homeschool them. Leave them alone. And if you're married, it's no business what you write on your list. It's your list. Respect everybody's privacy. Before you go to bed tonight, write on your list what you're worried about this week. Is it something at school? Is it something at work? Is it a health issue? Is it a relative? Is it a bill? Are you concerned about weather? Are you concerned about a friend? Are you concerned about politics, money, your rose bed, your pet? I want you to put down a list of everything that you are worried and concerned about. No matter how major or how small it is, you're worried about it. You're thinking about it. You're spending time in your life. The clock is ticking and you're worried about this. I want you to make that list. And then I want you to tuck that list away, stick it in a drawer, put it somewhere. And I don't want you to think about that list. I don't want you to even look at that list for quite a while. Because this homework assignment is going to take a while before we call for this list.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Here's some emails. Did you like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Just saying hello from Detroit. Thank you for the show. One question. When it comes to eating healthy and being healthy, it seems crazy to ask God to heal oneself if one eats like a hog all the time. No regard for what taken, never exercising, etc. Right? Yeah.
I think so.
Well, yeah. Moderation, self-control.
Yep.
Getting it more and more, but have to remind oneself to keep looking for grace. Had a bad backache twice a few weeks back, but dismissed it, and both times it was gone in half a day. Normally, that might have been a week to heal. Spot on, gents. Well, that's a nice one.
Yep.
Okay, we got one here. It says, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Well, I wonder where they've been. It says, kitchen counter couple saying hi.
That's nice.
We haven't heard from the kitchen counter people in a long time.
Yep, that's great.
We tuned in late tonight. We have not listened live for quite a while. Mr. Kitchen Counter Couple has been listening to old show 154 over and over and over. I'm finally getting the point in that show. You covered the point. Hello to all the listeners. See, it's nice to hear from Kitchen Counter people.
It is.
Okay, it says, hello. What a difference Grace has made in not having to care. Watching Grace work things out during our days. Wow, 70 degrees and sunshine while sitting on our back porch today, enjoying the scenery. Well, do you know who's sitting on their back porch enjoying the scenery in 70-degree weather? Well, they're certainly not in Oklahoma with 70-degree weather.
No, they're not. It's cold here.
Yeah, well, it was kind of cold today. I had it easy. I was in a tractor with listening to the radio and had the heater on.
Tell the story of the repair guy talking to the three girls while you guys are doing stones and spreading stones and they're working shoveling.
Oh yeah, today.
Because the comment you made earlier concerning that was, if people are so soft, if they're not tough enough to be able to brave the elements when it's hot, say, hey, we got work to do, we do it. Whether it's hot, whether it's cold. Or if it's cold, to say, hey, it's okay, let's go out and do it. How are they ever going to look at life's problems that come and learn how to dismiss them and find God to be greater in tangibility?
Guess who's listening to the show?
Grandma and Grandpa.
See, he's out there, him, Grandma and Grandpa are out on their outlaw biker Harley tricycle in 70-degree weather. So that, we got an email from them. I will, but we got an email. It says, I used to get mad at you. Oh, I like this. I used to get mad at you guys. Who do they think they are? It may be easy for them to say, but it's not that easy. But it's really that simple and can be that easy. Sometimes I can't keep up with saying thank you to Grace. Well, see, that was a pretty honest email.
That's very good. I like that.
I've always wondered about that. I've always wondered about,
do we make people mad?
Mad, frustrated, disappointed, discouraged, because
I get a lot of that.
You know,
people
maybe
say that.
Maybe we're going a little faster on the highway than somebody else might. But in the same turn, maybe somebody's going faster than we are.
Right.
Let's see. We got an email here that says, Nin Hao from Gian. That's hello.
Right.
It says, how is the new year going for you all? Gian spent time with family and friends. BJ, did Ranger enjoy her many bones and mice? Jimmy, how my friend overcome dizziness? I hope to be in touch with you before Chinese New Year. BJ, give Ranger big kiss for Gian. So, Jim, you got a question for you there. Dizziness.
As far as dizziness is concerned, listen, there shouldn't be any reason why just taking some moments to reflect and be thankful for what you do see and how big Grace is in even the smallest of little things for you to immediately to begin to experience freedom from this dizziness. I'm going to share it to you like this, Gian, and that is Jesus said it only takes a speck of faith to remove a mountain and to cast it into the sea. What he's trying to say is there are no mountains. People make things mountains. They make the tangibility of this world become something that's greater than Grace. You've heard BJ say before, if it's up to the tangibility of the love of God or the tangibility of the tangibility of the world will trump the love of God every time. And just meaning this, for most people, the world is real. The flesh is real. Dizziness is real. Maybe the grace of God that you see everywhere in just the simplest of little things is more real, and maybe you're not as dizzy as you think.
We got a text that says, just how important is food and exercise? Well, I'll give you my answer. Well, you answer first because you got your...
I'm going to give you a simple scripture answer. Paul said bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, not only in this life, but the life to come. I think that's pretty simple.
I'm going to answer this with my own life experiences and what I've learned from other people. I've observed something. The older you get, the more active you are, the better you are. People who have livestock, who have pets, that they have to get out of bed and feed somebody. They have to clean a stall. They have to clean out a litter box. They have to scoop poop in the backyard. And they've actually done research. People that live with animals live longer. People who have animals seem to be calmer and more relaxed. It's kind of interesting. We have a tractor. We have an old tractor on the ranch, and we use it a lot. And what's real interesting about this old tractor is, when we use this tractor a lot, it runs like a top and everything's going good. But if it sits in the machine shed and collects dust and gets pigeon droppings on it and the cats make a nest in the seat, it's hard to start. And when it starts, something always seems to need a little adjustment or repair. But if we're using that machine hard all the time on a regular basis, it runs like a top.
Sure. Yep.
And I think it goes to that old adage, use it or lose it.
Yeah.
Now, I think that there's a balance between being healthy and food and enjoying life. I've never met a person yet that when they were really old that said, boy, I wish I would have eaten more bran. But I have met older people that said, you know, I should have had more ice cream. I should have had another good cigar. I should have spent time with the kids. Should have went fishing. I should have took up painting and knitting like I would have wanted to. I think that having a Spartan life and depriving yourself of small enjoyments just because, I think that's a shame. I think it's a shame. I think you should find some happiness and some brief moments of joy wherever you can.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's watching a show with a bag of potato chips, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And if the next day you're a little more physically active and you watch what you eat because you had a bag of potato chips the day before, I think that's kind of a handy way to look at it.
Sure.
I think it's give and take. Okay, let's check for emails. We don't have any emails. We got an email here. It says, okay, it's the same question for both of us.
Okay.
What was the last instance of grace you witnessed? And then it says both of you. What's the last instance of grace that you saw?
Okay. Well, I don't want to be coy about this, but let me just share this with you. This show is nothing but grace. If you only knew how many times BJ's saying things without even knowing what he's saying, meaning...
What?
Wait a minute. I said meaning that he'll say things that come right from the guys, and I just happened to turn to a scripture on my Bible program here, and it happens to be the exact one. Or I'm sitting on a scripture here, and I know I'm not supposed to turn the screen. He says something, and it's the exact same thing. I mean, I watch this happen all through this show. I watch grace take place where things happen constantly, where I have no clue what to do next, what he's going to say next, and yet I happen to have the exact scripture I need right here sitting there staring at me, and it comes at the right time. I mean, I'm watching that take place, almost like some unseen one is orchestrating a lot of what goes on here. Now, I don't know that God's going to take credit for the oven mitts and the
potholders,
but I'm just telling you, I see tons of grace just on this show.
I happen to know that Jesus loves oven mitts and potholders.
And?
Nothing. I'm just looking at it from a grace positive standpoint. What, you know, what do you want to, okay, the guy in Mariposa by Yosemite in California, Will, even though
beans and rice.
Yeah,
and
even though he's, you know, he serves a tragic disaster of beans, rice, and yams to his poor daughter, Gabrielle, who, you know, is just waiting by the post office for a pork chop or a decent piece of meat. You can't say that potholders are bad. The guy sent us an email saying they're good.
He used them.
Jim, that's the problem. You don't support the listeners.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm trying to support the poor guy saying Jesus loves potholders and oven mitts. And what do you say? No, you'll go to hell if you like Jesus and oven mitts.
You know, Gabrielle is probably going to say next week, I've had meat every single night since the show.
Well, you know, there's an old saying.
Anymore.
Nothing says party like bacon.
Huh. I've never heard that.
That's because I just made it up.
Oh, okay. Well,
and I don't really think I'm ever going to say it again.
Hey, you know what we've not talked about?
What's that?
It's been 2 weeks since we've had a Wednesday night service at the library.
You going to have one?
And we have one tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Hardesty Library. You can go on to either the Facebook page, Jim Hockaday Facebook page, or it's easy to just go on to the Jim Hockaday website, and you can get onto the live streaming at 7 o'clock. And it will loop in case you can't be with us at that
7 o'clock standard time.
Yep. So,
and how do you find that? Can they go to your Facebook? You have two Facebook pages.
Right.
So they have to go to which Facebook page?
It should be the Jim Hockaday Facebook page. You should be able to find it. But the easiest way is the website.
They need to go to the Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page.
Okay.
It's jimhockadaymin.com Facebook page.
Okay.
You should dump the other one.
You know what? I almost feel like I should.
You never use it.
Yeah.
Do you?
Well, it's just that's the one where tons of people are connected to me, so to speak. So, I don't know. Maybe I can get those friends to be rolled over to the Jim Hockaday Men.
I don't know.
Like to dump it. I wouldn't mind dumping it. But anyhow, we're up and running tomorrow night, so it's going to be good.
That's good.
Yep.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Well, we're caught up on emails. We're caught up on text messages.
And we've got a homework assignment.
Homework assignment is what you are worried about, concerned, what's bothering you about your life.
Write it down.
Write it down on a piece of paper. Don't share it. It's private information. Only you. So Weaver mom and dad leave the Weaver kids alone, and the Weaver kids leave each other alone. And Dave and Barb leave each other alone.
Dave and Barb.
What?
No, I'm just laughing.
And Grandma and Grandpa, they've been married like 80 years. And so they know what they know.
Maybe they could write down each other's. They know each other so well.
Uh-oh. Something just popped up on the screen. Hold on. Let's see. Last week I went to the mall to shop. I wanted to get a smoothie, and my three kids quickly agreed that they should have one too. We ordered our drinks, and one for my husband. The man behind the register rang up the purchase. I handed him my credit card, as I rarely carry much cash, and the credit card would not process. He tried it again, and it still didn't work. I knew that it wasn't my card, as we had just used it at another store. I gave him a debit card, and he said, if this doesn't work, our machines must be down, and the drinks are on us. We walked away with $35 worth of smoothies on the house. My daughter ran to find my husband, held up her drink, and said, Grace! I wasn't expecting free drinks. Grace just had us there at the right time. Everyone after us had to pay cash. They never even asked me for cash. Thanks for sharing testimonies. It's exciting to hear how people are experiencing grace. We are also in sub-zero temps for the next few days. Well, 40 below tonight.
Oh
the
my.
Kids are thrilled because school is canceled. So there you go. All right, you ready?
I am. Hey, do you ever remember school being canceled in, it was Iowa that you were in when it was too cold?
No, not very often. No, the school, but they put chains on the school bus, and if we slid off into the ditch, somebody would just pull it out in a tractor.
Yeah.
I mean, it had to be some serious, serious weather.
Now, I remember a couple times.
It was different back then because you could eat glue. Kids ran with scissors. Nobody rode a bicycle with a helmet.
No.
You could go down and buy a brand new pickup truck, and that had real glass that, like, would shatter, and there was no seat belts in the cars.
And you could ride a bicycle on a highway.
Yeah, you could ride bikes on a highway.
And you were thumbing rides everywhere.
When I was in high school, in the cafeteria, they had cigarette machines so the kids would stay on campus when they smoked, so they wouldn't leave campus to go buy cigarettes. So they put a cigarette machine in the cafeteria for the students.
Hmm.
Everybody carried a pocket knife.
And you figured out that if you bought cartons of cigarettes and sold one or two by itself, you could actually make a profit because people would buy one or two instead of a whole pack.
They didn't have enough money for a whole pack, and they only wanted one or two cigarettes because they didn't want their parents to know they were smoking. So I sold cigarettes individually.
Right, and made money.
Yeah, I would pay for a pack of cigarettes and still have like enough money to buy two more packs. I didn't smoke.
Right.
Yeah, I sold cigarettes, alcohol, fireworks, homework assignments, insurance. If you took your parents' car out and you dented or scratched it at a body shop, I sold insurance. Loaned money. Low interest loans.
Mm-hmm.
Sold tests. If you were a really bad student, you wanted to buy the answers for a test, I sold tests.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. When I graduated high school, I walked away from high school with about $32,000 in cash, and in today's money, that would be that'd be graduating high school and walking away with a diploma with about $110,000 in your pocket. Yeah, I was quite the little entrepreneur.
You pretty well worked the system, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But now, thank God you're saved. And
that's
okay. I'm ready for music.
But yeah, I was in. I was in chess club, math club, chess club,
debate
math club, debate club.
Yep.
Yeah, chess club, math club, debate club. Wasn't allowed in wood shop, metal shop, or the cafeteria, or any after-school activities, or dances, or sporting events.
Too afraid you'd blow something up?
Hey, look, the only three times I blew something up, it really was out of my control.
And it was worth blowing up, right?
Well, no, the fourth time was my fault, but the first three, no, you know. I can't be responsible for every detonation.
Did you get blamed for it?
I got blamed for a lot of things, but I never got caught for anything.
Hmm.
I never was suspended. A lot of police reports were filed, but I was never found guilty, never charged. They knew, they just didn't, they couldn't prove anything.
Right.
Yeah, everybody knew it was me. They'd say, yeah, he did it, but good luck proving it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah, I got it.
You know.
Hmm. Okay, play that music. Well, folks, it's great to have you back for the first show of the new year. In fact, to just tell you a funny story about the new year, BJ called me on the 31st of December to tell me how mad he was, and he wasn't going to talk to me for a whole year.
And then
he called me on the 1st and said, well, it's been a whole year since I've talked to you, so I thought I'd call.
Get it out of the way.
Get it out of the way. That's my co-host, folks. Pray for me. So right now, I'll pray for you by saying, just like we did earlier, Lord, I pray that our eyes would expand and be opened and you'd flood them with light. We really need to see things like they really are. Not only seeing you and knowing how real you are, but seeing life for what it is, how distorted it is, but how amazing it can be when we allow grace to become the center focus of everything that we do. In other words, Jesus becomes the reason why we make every choice and we make every decision, the reason why we get up in the morning, and the reason why by the time we go to bed at night, we've got multiple testimonies of how good you really are. Thank you for being in our lives, and I trust that you'll minister to the people as we speak for the rest of this week. Amen.
Well, that was an interesting final message.
Yeah, I just had to tell off on you a little bit.
Well, you know what was really funny is folks, is Jim took it seriously. I called up and I said, "I'm so mad at you." And he goes, "What?" And I says, "I am really upset with you." And he goes,
and I said, "Well, what do I do now?"
Yeah, you go, "What do I do now?" And I said, "I am so mad at you. I'm not going to talk to you till next year."
Yeah.
And then that was the whole conversation.
Yeah, that was it.
And then the next day, that was the evening of the 31st. And then the 1st, January 1st, I called him up and he goes, "Hey." And I says, "Well, I told you I'd call you next year. I just wanted to get it out of the way."
Yeah. That was good.
Well, folks, like always, we try to bring you something new, something interesting. We want you to smile. We want you to enjoy listening to Jim's show. And think about that homework assignment. Before you go to bed tonight, write down what you're concerned about, what worries you. No matter how simple it is, maybe you can't watch your show anymore. You've lost your lucky charm. You're worried about a best friend, your job, whatever it is, big or small, make your list and then fold it up and put it somewhere.
Yep.
And we'll let you know when it's time to dig it out. Ranger is out for the count.
I know.
Hey, Ranger, the show's over. Notice I put a blanket on the floor. Well, folks, I want you to take care of yourselves and your pets. And remember, dogs spell backwards. What is it, Ranger? Good girl. What is dog spelled backwards?
What is it?
Ranger. Good girl. Good night, everybody.
Good night.